Okay, this coming Shabbos we'll have the opportunity to read Parshas Ikev. And the Torah tells us, Vayikev Tishmerun, when it comes to passing, you listen to the mitzvos. And Rashi notes that the word Ikev is used as it reminds us of mitzvos that one tends to treat as insignificant and tramples on them with his heels. So if we were correctly observe even these mitzvos, we can be sure that Hashem will reward us. So Rabbi Yashav Zatzal added that one must also be on the lookout for the averos that one tramples through. And like Yonah, who in the boat went down to sleep, whose sins seemed to be much smaller than those of the ones on deck who were crying out to their avodah zaras. And still, when the lots were cast, it turned out that he was the one who was to blame for the hurricane at the sea. So too, we do not know the value of the mitzvos and averos, and therefore, we lack the ability to judge which ones to trample through. And so therefore, Rav Yashav cautions us to be very careful in this process, v'hoya ikev tishma'un, to turn around and make sure not to trample over mitzvos, and not to trample over averos, but rather to rise to the occasions. Later on in the Sedra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moshe Rabbeinu, as he recounts the story of Mamad Har Sinai, that Vayitena Hashem Elai Gamishtei Luchos Havanim Luchos Oedus. Hashem gave him the two tablets made out of stone. Now it's interesting that while the word is read in the plural, Luchos, it's written as a single word, Luchas, which teaches us that the Dibros had the same significance as if they had been written on the same tablet. So Rav David Feinstein, Shalita, the great Gaon of America, highlights that this point by noting the redundancy in the word Shnei and Luchos. Luchos, by definition, implies that there is a multiplicity, that there's more than one. And yet still the Torah says Shnei, it is two of them. So here, Rav David tells us that the Torah wants us to know that one cannot properly fulfill the first five Dibros, which were written in the first one of the Luchos, without properly doing the same to the second, and vice versa. Indeed, the Yerushalmi and Shkalim tells us that the Luchos were written on both sides, that the second set of Luchos were on the other side of the first Luchos, and vice versa. Because true Torah observance, says Rav David Feinstein, requires a person to link his Bein Adam L'Makom with his Bein Adam L'Chavero, and to link the Bein Adam L'Chavero to the Bein Adam L'Makom. And so therefore, although it's two, it's really Luchas. And we get to the famous crescendo pasuk in this week's Sedra. V'yato Yisrael, mo Hashem Elokecha shoel me'imach ki'im li'ira. Now, Am Yisrael, what does Hashem ask from you, except for Yira Shamayim? And the question has to be raised, what is Yira Shamayim? And why do we use the word Yira, fear, if that is so opposite the style of today's world? We don't usually think about the world in terms of fearing God. That's not usually what sells today. So Rav Shlomo Freifeld, Zechat Tzadik Levra, explain that Yira Shamayim is not based on fear, as if somehow not to fear God would result in personal harm. That's kind of an I versus you relationship that's quite dangerous. Rather, says Rav Shlomo Freifeld, the great founder of Shar Yashav, the great Makariv LaTorah, rather, says Rabbi Freifeld, it's an experience of reverence where one finds something bigger in the world around him or her, like looking at the Declaration of Independence and the Mona Lisa. Both of those also have boundaries, so as not to get too close. Now, there is a fear that exists within that process, and that same sense of reverence needs to exist within us if we're going to appreciate godliness in the world and in the Torah that built and runs that world. If we get that idea, we get the keys to our future. Everything else flows once you get that Yira Shamayim, because then you'll see God everywhere that you turn. Torah tells us also, by the way, un maltemes orlas levavchem, that you should circumcise the orla of your hearts. This is one of those psukim that comes up very often throughout the Elul and Tshuva season. What does it mean? So Rav Gifter Zatzal explained the metaphor here by noting that just as the foreskin covers something that ought to be revealed, earthly desires need to be curved sometimes, as these extras hold us back from finding our true hearts that serve Hashem. Then we go on in the parsha and we point out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elokeo Elokim, Adonai Adonim, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, V'Anora. And he also is so careful, we say right away in the next pasuk, V'Oi V'Sager, Lo Seis Lo Lechem V'Simla. And Rashi cites the Gemara Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph Amad Aleph that notes that Kol Makom Sha'ata Motzei Gedulaso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anywhere we find the greatness of Hashem, Sham Ata Motzei Anvasanusa, we also find God's humility. There is a great, wonderful individual in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. Her name is Sivan Rahav Meir. She is a Chozeret B'tshuva, a very prominent modern Israeli Charedia, who gives a wonderful Chumash here, and she pointed out that many modern philosophers think that the greatness of Hashem is seen in His ability to change nature. However, the true greatness of Hashem is in the fact that while He is the Hashem over great things, His towering presence doesn't preclude His involvement in helping even the most downtrodden in society. To be a gadol, sometimes we need to listen to the smallest of things. To be a gadol, sometimes in life, it requires us to do things that are great. We also point out that our eyes see all the great work of Hashem, Asher Asah. Now, the fact of the matter is, if we're supposed to see Hashem's miracles so clearly through His handiwork, why is it that some see more clearly than others? Sir Mordechai Pogromansky Zatzal likened this to the one who walks through an art museum with a smudge on his glasses. While the art is magnificent, the wearer only sees the smudges and imperfections. And it's our attunement that needs to be clued in if we're going to perceive the greatness of Hashem. Aland Eretz Eretz Harim Uve Kaos Limtara Shamayim Tishtamayim. The fact of the matter is, when we talk about the land being a land of mountains and valleys, we say in Parak Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, where you can drink the rainwater. And Rashi notes that the water of the mountain is better than the plains as far as crop growth is concerned. And Rav Avigdor Nebenzahl Shalita pointed out that this is a proof to the Gemara statement in Masechta Tanis on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, that one snowfall is good for the mountains as five of them are good for the ground. So Rav Nebenzahl explains that the mountains need five times the amounts of rain, since they grow five times of the amount of crop, right? And the fact of the matter is, says Rav Nebenzahl, this is one of the great neflos ha-borei, that he sees to it that more moisture comes to the mountains in the form of snow in order to improve the growth conditions. Once again, proving the point that has been the underbelly of most of the shir today, namely the understanding that all we have to do is take our eyes open in order for us to see how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, even in running our daily lives. Finally, we approach the Haftorah this week, and of course we continue with the second of the Shivan de Nechemta, where we note the statement, Ha'aseshkach isha ula merachem ben bina, gam ilis isha chachna v'anochi lo eshkachech. Can a woman ever forget her nursing child? Even if those things can be forgotten, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will not forget you, and that so declares the Navi Yishayahu. Now, even if it's possible for a mother to forget her child, Hashem promises that He will not forget us. And the Yalkut Shimoni offers a deeper explanation, noting that while the Jews declared Eila Elohecha Yisrael, Gam Eila Si Shachachna, about the Egel, and at the same moment in time they heard Anochi Hashem at the base of Har Sinai, the Nechama is that the Eila, Gam Eila Si Shachachna, the Eila will be forgotten, says the Yalkut Shimoni, in the future, while the Anochi will not. So Rav Shechter Shalita has suggested on a number of occasions that this is the elusive connection to the Parsha where Moshe describes Mamad Har Sinai and the Eagle episode. Now, why is it that Hashem will overlook one and not the other? So Rav Shechter used to tell us that this is like a spouse or a city that one lives in, where there are positive and negative qualities in those people. However, when we have a successful marriage or when we live successfully within a city, the positives far overwhelm the negatives, to the point of making the negatives unrecognizable. And Hashem will do the same for us as a nation in the future as well, noting that our positives will outweigh our challenges. And that's the huge nechama, that's the huge peace that comes out in this situation. We are so beset with everyone trying to find everything to be so perfect. And sometimes the true nechama comes about where HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us understand the mahu afanachnu, where we look around and see, yes, we live in a crazy world, but in the process of living in that crazy world, we have a responsibility to ourselves to open up our eyes and see the goodness that exists there within. Tova aretz ma'od ma'od, that our Kadosh Baruch Hu is still running this world wonderfully, and be'ezras Hashem, He will lead us not only to goodness today, but a yom shekulo Shabbos u'menucha, a yom that we can look forward to, a yom hagadol v'hanora, Shabbat shalom to all.